This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for downloading these podcasts. If you'd like to send me a question, a topic of interest, you may do so. Send it to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call the office and speak to Grimaldi, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. And for those of you who subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, thank you for doing so. For those of you who are interested in subscribing, go to drhoffman.com and click on subscribe. Comes out around every Thursday, typically, and it's free, as are these podcasts. And you may unsubscribe at any time. So remember, you can send me your questions, topics of interest to radioprogram@AOL.com. Hey, do you like the color orange? Orange napkins improve dietary intake among hospitalized patients. This is interesting. Did you know that the color orange may stimulate your appetite? That's what this study is showing us. So what this study is about, this is in a hospital setting. And what they're demonstrating is the effectiveness of improving meal presentation through the use of an orange napkin to increase meal consumption in hospital. You know, when you're in a hospital, you don't have much appetite and they're trying to get you well, right? And especially for the elderly and frail who don't have much appetite. And this inclusion of an orange napkin was very interesting. Color has been studied as a means through which to enhance the food context. For example, the color of the crockery on which food was served was found to significantly increase food consumption among residents in nursing homes. Orange has been identified as an appetite stimulant. However, this refers to the color of the food itself rather than orange color as a component of the meal context. Orange is associated with food, warmth, and satisfaction. And this study was designed to estimate the effect of orange napkin color on food intake at lunchtime and patient satisfaction with meals. Think about it. Do you have an orange pot, orange plateware, dishes, cups? Is orange a color in your kitchen, in your home? And orange is a color of autumn, of fall time. You know, think pumpkins, think Halloween, think fall and the color of leaves, right? They turn reds and oranges, yellows. Think about fast food restaurant. I believe Burger King comes to mind. I'm not sure of the colors in Burger King anymore. It's been a couple of decades since I've been in there. But as a kid, I did go to Burger King and to McDonald's. And I do remember seeing orange, particularly in a Burger King. So the color orange is an appetite stimulant. Orange is associated with food, warmth, and satisfaction. So there's a method to the madness, right? So the method on this, randomized clinical trial at Internal Medicine Department E at Wolfson Medical Center in Israel. Data collection was obtained from medical records and patient food trays were photographed by the investigator. Terrific. Modified Comstock plate weight scale was used with the photographs, the images of plate waste, which were later viewed in the camera viewer screen. This was part of their methodology. So the rater indicated the proportion of the menu item remaining on the plate, hence calculating the amount of food that was consumed. That's how they were able to do this. They took pictures of it and they recorded the plate waste, the food that was uneaten. And get this, the orange napkin group consumed 17.6% more food than the white napkin group. The white napkin group was the control group. The proportion of total lunch meal consumed was significantly greater in the orange napkin versus white napkin group. And the satisfaction score was higher in the orange napkin group than the control group, which was the white napkin group. So they've concluded that including an orange napkin can increase dietary intake among hospitalized patients at internal medical departments. And extrapolate that into your home. The use of orange. If you find yourself overweight, overindulgent, all of the above, is there any orange in your home? Your crockery, your dinnerware, all of that. Take a look. This is so interesting on how color influences our behavior. Now, I want to go on and talk to you about choline. And I'm bringing this to you from a wonderful, wonderful resource. This is from Dr. Jeffrey Bland, PhD, biochemist. He is the grandfather of integrative and functional medicine. He is one of the founders. And this is from his Personalized Lifestyle Medicine Institute and from his newsletter, from his August newsletter. He talks about choline and he takes a really beautiful deep dive into it, the importance of choline. Now, choline is a relative latecomer to the spotlight of nutrition, and though its essentiality was only recently established, it was established in 1998, it's required for health from the most basic cellular development to the highest echelons of brain function. Think acetylcholine, folks. Think phosphatidylcholine. Very, very important brain nutrients. Insufficient intakes of choline are common among children, older adults, and pregnant women, with around 90% of Americans not receiving the adequate intake level. What is that level? It ranges from 125 to 550 milligrams per day. And vegetarians may have especially low intakes. Humans can make small amounts of choline from SAMe. You've heard of SAMe. S-adenosylmethionine, that's SAMe. But diet must supply most bodily needs. Egg yolk is the richest food source of choline. So don't throw out those egg yolks, people. Don't be afraid of cholesterol. Your bodies need cholesterol, so do your brains. And they also need the choline that's in your egg yolks. egg yolk is the richest food source of choline, and though it is most commonly found in animal foods like liver, meat, fish eggs, which we're talking about roe, caviar, right? Fish eggs. It's found in milk and whey, and plant foods such as soy, split peas, nuts, spinach, cruciferous vegetables, and shiitake mushrooms provide it in reasonable quantity. The American Academy of Pediatrics considers choline one of the 11 keystone neurodevelopmental nutrients for which deficiency cannot later be nutritionally corrected. Listen up, pregnant ladies or women who are planning to become pregnant. It is so critical during brain and nervous system formation in a growing fetus that its biosynthesis in the liver is boosted by the high estrogen environment of pregnancy. Yet, pregnancy and lactation may exhaust mother's choline reserves. I know when Dr. Hoffman and myself prescribe to our pregnant patients prenatal vitamins, the prenatal multi, absolutely, fish oil, especially DHA, which is critical for eye and brain development, but also acetylcholine we like to give as well. So a compelling study found that a high maternal choline intake, that's 930 milligrams daily, which is different from the 125 to 550 adequate range, right? That a high maternal choline intake, which is around 930 milligrams daily, in the third trimester of pregnancy related to lower cord plasma levels of cortisol, the stress hormone cortisol, and altered expression of genes controlling cortisol release. In effect, it was quieting activity along this axis of the stress response. So a high maternal choline intake in the third trimester of pregnancy reduced levels of stress response. This same intake in mothers showed benefits for these children's executive cognitive function during childhood, as presented by Marie Caudill, PhD, RD, and team at the 2018 American Society for Nutrition annual meeting. A distinctive feature of choline is that it is not only used for, one, building the phospholipid components of cell membranes, but also needed in, two, performing the neurotransmitter, forming the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which acts in the synaptic regions of neuron cell membranes, both of which are strongly implicated in cognitive health during aging. Choline helps maintain the integrity of membranes within mitochondria, and deficiency impairs cellular energy production while at the same time increasing oxidative stress. In older persons, lower circulating levels of 8 choline-containing phospholipids, as well as 2 others, accurately predicts clinically significant worsening of cognitive function over the next few years. Besides being incorporated into membranes, choline also influences virtually every cell by participating in the body's, quote, carbon economy, end quote, of methylation. in which it works closely with folate, vitamin B12, and SAMe. Choline's task of transferring single carbons as methyl groups facilitates proper tissue growth, but its methylation duties for DNA and the histones, which control the configuration of that DNA and thus its availability for reading or epigenetic modification, demonstrate its involvement at the highest level of regulation of cell life, helping determine which cell programs run, which genes are expressed, which proteins get produced, and which cells grow. I find Dr. Jeffrey Bland's work so absolutely nourishing, don't you? Let me go on. This may partly explain why low choline intake increases overall cancer risk, and especially lung, breast, nasopharyngeal forms, nasal and throat, according to studies cited in a 2017 review by choline expert Dr. Steven Zeisel. Maternal intakes of methyl donors, including choline, influence the activity of DNA methyltransferases responsible for broad control over DNA methylation patterns at critical points in cell division, embryo development, and fetal growth. Not just direct methylation, but all around regulation of methylation, choline is critical. Bottom line, choline is critical in methylation, and that's also part of your detox. One of choline's metabolites is another valuable methyl donor, betaine. And choline is also able to remethylate homocysteine, thus sparing body stores of folate from that task. And you know, a high homocysteine is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, stroke, dementia, and bone fracture. So choline is critical in the remethylation of homocysteine, sparing folate for its other tasks. Choline deficiency places more metabolic stress on folate, leading to greater DNA damage and genomic instability, gene instability. Though choline is perhaps best known for growing and maintaining brains and protecting against birth defects, it is interesting that in human and animal studies, an early sign of deficiency is elevated liver enzyme levels. Choline is needed for optimal fat metabolism and creation of VLDL lipoproteins, and choline shortages causes triglycerides to back up in the liver, causing fatty infiltration of liver tissue and cell damage. That's why when we have patients with fatty liver disease, we give them acetylcholine, among many other nutrients. Acetylcholine is definitely one. In one study, over 75% of men and postmenopausal women on a low choline experimental diet showed fatty liver and or muscle damage, which was shown by a significant increase in serum creatine phosphokinase levels, while less than half of premenopausal women were affected. Choline status can also impact susceptibility to inflammation. Compared to adults with the lowest choline intakes, those receiving the highest amounts daily had significantly lower levels of several prime biomarkers of inflammation, which were C-reactive protein, CRP, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and resistin, and higher levels of the beneficial cardiometabolic marker adiponectin. While choline deficiency is common, there has been more concern over the gut microbiome's production of trimethylamine oxide, which you know as TMAO. That's gotten a lot of press lately, TMAO from choline metabolism, and TMAO's potential ties with cardiovascular disease. While elevated circulating TMAO levels have been linked to vascular damage and dysfunction, it is not clear yet whether this is indicative of causation or if TMAO is an innocent bystander biomarker. Generous dietary provision of choline has been more closely related to lower cardiovascular risk rather than higher risk. TMAO is also produced from betaine and carnitine, which likewise actively support functional health, yet are also present in meager amounts in many diets. One preliminary study suggests that the microbiota in individuals with less gut microbiome diversity and a higher Firmicutes to bacterioides ratio may produce TMAO. Now, Dr. Hoffman has talked and written at length about TMAO and impact from microbiome influencing that. Most of the U.S. population doesn't get enough choline, and fatty liver is on the rise. In choline deficient individuals, several genetic polymorphisms, several genetic mutations influence risk for liver disease, fetal neural tube defects, muscle damage, and other choline deficiency related conditions. Though estrogen greatly increases choline synthesis, around half of women possess a gene variant that negates this estrogenic influence. And these women, and during pregnancy, their progeny, their children, depend heavily on sufficient dietary provision of choline. So choline is an exquisite example of a well-connected pleiotropic nutrient. That means it influences many genes. That's pleiotropic. Influences many pathways involved in gene regulation and in healthy structure and function of the brain, mitochondria, cell membranes, liver, blood vessels, stress and inflammatory response patterns, and even our second brain, the gut microbiome. That's our second brain. This nutrient is so frequently overlooked that a team of researchers has recently developed helpful menus for choline-focused Mediterranean style and vegetarian eating patterns that are easy to use. A reminder of where you find choline. Egg yolk is the richest food source of choline. You know, I pretty much most mornings eat a soft-boiled egg in the morning, along with some other things, but soft-boiled egg is what I look forward to. Richest source of choline, and it's found in animal foods like liver, meat, fish, caviar, fish roe, milk and whey, plant foods such as soy, split peas, nuts, spinach, cruciferous vegetables, and shiitake mushrooms. Interesting stuff. Thank you, Dr. Jeffrey Bland. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.